Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going right into some things that are taking place as we speak. Reports are in Israel, according to the Jerusalem Post, that Arabs are now rioting inside of Jerusalem. And the Jews have been so welcoming to anybody who wants to join in and come a part of Israel. But the decision you make when that happens is you join us. You don't stay divided. Right. Unlike America, you know, it used to be, you know, e pluribus unum, but now it's the opposite of that. Though that we're one, we're many. It's the opposite today. Mm. But also that they're having to come in and when you think about Israel, I always say this, we always have to remember the context of it. It's only like 70 miles wide. So when people talk about West Bank or they talk about the Golan Heights, I mean, you're talking about your elbow versus your shoulder. I mean,
right.
So when they're firing 36 missiles into the West Bank, you know, you think about that. I mean, that's real close quarters. And they're doing that because missiles were fired from the West Bank into, reportedly, in the southern parts of Israel, coming towards the folks right there. Mm-hmm. And so this is serious times. We talked about it. Is this the time for, you know, 7 months to bury the body, 7 years to burn the weapons? You got to hopefully see that on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But these things are going to happen. You know, no man actually knows exactly when or where. We're not saying it is. But it's like right now, if Israel has to openly, you know, start a war to be able to deal with some things, there's a lot of people right now who are held captive by the adversary who wants to use that as a narrative to try to fulfill their agenda. Mm-hmm. And some of the prophetic words by John Paul Jackson was of the perfect storm, which you can see on VFNTV.com, is that Israel played all of her cards. Does she have any left? And I know this, that I wouldn't want to be the person that Israel played all their cards in. I can imagine every card of Israel being played on me. Can you imagine that?
No.
It's like, I mean, everything that we're using in the world right now seems to come from Israel. So I could imagine everything. But when you're little like that, you've got. You can't, right?
You gotta use his cards.
You gotta use his cards. Don't take this personal, but I'm gonna have to take you down because I feel and sense like you're gonna try to come after us and you're just too big. And so so we're looking at this take place. And remember, if you've been connecting and following us for some time and you can follow us, that the question was, are they using Lucifer tactics to organize the world? Are they using Saul Alinsky tactics? It's their 13 tactics of Saul Alinsky that was taught by our president, reportedly, according to the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, I meant. He taught it for 4 years. Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State, was mentored by Saul Alinsky. Reports are that he went into her church and found her in her youth or whatever that was and began to just kind of speak into her life. And you think about this is the 60s when everybody begins to organize, and there is some great organizing going on in regards to Dr. King, in regards to civil rights, citizens being treated fairly like citizens. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there was another effort of the organization going on saying the citizens called infants in the wombs was being organized against. At the same time, they were trying to come up with a way how to end the life of a child inside of a woman's womb, which accumulated or came all the way up to the point of 1973 when they passed this law in the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. And in that, that's when, as we talked about, according to Dutch Sheets and a prophetic word given by Chuck Pierce, that was the year that a judgment came on America for 40 years, which is over with, by the way, January 2013. That was 40 years after Roe versus Wade. And so you got these best of times and worst of times scenarios taking place right now. So you're looking at, there's so many things going on. There's so many things going on right now that it can cause you just to throw your hands up. I was watching a lady on the news, and we may have her today, where she's just in tears. She goes, I just feel like my country's being destroyed. And it's like, well, it's being organized. And one of the techniques of Saul Alinsky is to cause you to feel that way so that when this alternative way of doing things pops up, you can just go, oh, at least we get to keep our country. Even though it's no longer its original intent for it. And I think about that over and over again, but I want you to see this, because as Christians, we got to be very, very careful that we are not saying, hey, we don't want immigrants to come to our nation. We can't say, you know, as lovers of God, that we don't want to take care of every human being on the face of the earth. The question is, what is the proper way to do that? And I see people in the streets, and I don't know whether they're Christian or not, but as you can see right now, this bus that's taking place as I'm talking to you, this bus was coming in. They're bringing in children that have been led over the border, sent by someone to come to our border here. And they're coming with papers, exactly what to say. And this is in California. And they're coming, they're stopping the buses. You can see they're protesting, saying, you know, you got to send these kids back. You're not going to have these kids in our town, you know. And I mean, that's their right to be able to say and do that. That's their community. That's their tax base. This is, they're going to have to take care of these kids. But as a Christian perspective, you can't stand out there in front of some bus like this and say, we're not going to take care of these kids. I mean, it is like the scenario that the adversary would use that as a Christian, you got to say, you know, we got to take care of these kids. But, you know, we can take care of these kids and also help them get back to their country, establish hospitals in their country. We can do all kinds of things like this and maintain our country at the same time. We're big enough to keep who we are if, in fact, we stay one nation under God. But so right now you have these buses that are this bus pulled into this particular town. This town was saying, no, we don't want you here. The guy looked straight into the camera and he says, you know, you need to do this in your town too. So this bus full of children creating the image and the likeness of God is pulling out of your city. Imagine that, pulling out of the city, and they're looking like they've accomplished something. It's like, no, you just walked right into a trap.
Yeah.
You walked right into a trap because that those kids are made in the image and the likeness of God. You know, it's a strategy being used. It's one of the tactics being used, you know, and Saul Alinsky's tactics that we've talked about and that you could talk more about. But he says very specifically in his tactics, one of his tactics, he says that you got to put pressure on the people and keep this continual pressure on them. And that's what you're seeing when you see what's taking place in the Middle East, what's taking place on our borders, what's taking place in Washington, D.C., what's taking place with the healthcare system, what's taking place with marriage, what's taking place in, I mean, it just keeps going and going and going and going. But that's actually a tactic. It's very well spelled out. You can go back and listen to them. You can read the book yourself. If you order the book, I think that people think you're actually trying to organize or something because they threw it at the bottom of a box for me. And then they begin to terrorize a people, and you're looking at people that feel terrorized. They feel, you know, we're losing our country, and we can't afford this, and we've lost our health care, and why did they bring us into a health care system that doesn't even provide for us now? Because now we give up this health care, we're losing that. And people think, oh, he's going to come out. They're trying to think it's the president. So they're actually going, well, he's really blown it now because he promised them something that would work and it didn't work. It's like, this is a brilliant man. He's not. Believe it, I don't think that our president has said anything different than what, I mean, he's doing anything different than he said. He says, I believe we need to have a single payer health care plan. Back in 2000, whatever, when he spoke at the national convention that he wasn't even a presidential candidate, he said what he saw his vision was for America. And when he said, I don't believe America's a Christian nation anymore, he said the future doesn't belong to those who actually blaspheme the prophet, you know, of Islam. Understand at the United Nations, this is how it's unfolding. This is how it's unfolding. The sad thing is that the church is not being the church. It's not to come against any kind of leadership. It's just to do what we do is preach the gospel and not fall to all these little, you know, traps and different things that are being organized. It's nothing more frustrating than to watch people get around Korah or Lucifer, Korah's rebellion. And it's like, are you really going to follow this rebellious one? Are you really going to do this, follow that? And then what happens is in these Alinsky tactics, and I'm briefing over them because they're very, very detailed. There's actually, you know, several parts of it. And you get to VFNTV.com, VFN Torch, drop down, and you see series. Go to Organizers of the Night versus Organizers of the Day. Believe me, if you listen to this as a pastor, if you take your time and listen to this as a father, as parents, as leaders, as a business owner, you're going to see what's going on. And you're going to know how to have a light response to this dark attack that's coming on our nation. And God wins if the church wakes up. And we believe it is. So what happens is, and they begin to polarize the people. And that means basically left and right, up and down, conservative, liberal. I mean, everything's just, it's okay. That's what you want to do. If you're an organizer, if you're a Alinsky organizer, you want people to be divided. You want marriage to be divided. You want children to be divided from parents. You want Congress to be divided from the judiciary branch and all that. This is how you actually do this kind of technique. And then once everything's polarized, then they begin to push it. And right now, America's being pushed. Our borders are being flooded over. And you're watching what's taking place. Don't think this is an accident. This is a strategy. The question is, what is the outcome of the strategy? Well, it doesn't look good if that actually is accomplished, but I don't think it's going to be accomplished. I think the church is going to wake up. So once they start pushing, now you have these children floating around, and it reminds me of the Jews being thrown out of
Spain.
Spain, and then they came down to come to they were being thrown out of Germany. So when they came down to America turned them away on the coast, Florida coast. Yeah. And then they went down to
Dominican Republic,
and they received them, which is blessed today.
The only nation really that received them at that time.
And so now we have children going around on a boat, floating around on wheels, and the church has to take care of these kids. We have to involve ourselves with these kids. We don't need to be seen on any kind of media, any kind of paper, any kind of governmental meeting saying this can't happen. We got to say, you know, we got to secure our borders and we got to take care of these kids. We got to take care of these kids. My concern is this, based on some prophetic words that we received, and we'll be talking about Cindy Jacobs as well today, as Demetri Dudeman, the word spoken over America, is that something, when this whole flood of children and women came over the border, something else came over with it. Something, because why would you stop all of a sudden?
Yeah.
And we want to talk about too, why is it okay for an executive branch of representative government to say, I'm going to do this outside of Congress, your representatives, and we're going to say, what does that really mean in the context of this? Talking about the original intent of our founding father. I am going to go around Congress. I'm going to do this myself. Mm. Well, the fact that we don't know the Constitution, we can think, you know, that's right. You just get in there and you just violate the Constitution, like the Supreme Court said that you did 13 times. Matter of fact, listen to this right now from CBN News. As our president says in the Rose Garden, that in regards to immigration, our borders are being flooded. The crisis was created. The narrative is being built. Alinsky models is taking place. And now you're fixing to see a push now to begin to write executive orders to change what your representatives said they didn't want to happen. Listen up. Watch.
President Obama says he won't wait on Republicans to act on immigration reform, so he's going it alone, announcing steps to bypass Congress. This as the crisis along America's southern border continues to unravel with growing numbers of underage immigrants pouring across. George Thomas has the details.
The body of an 11-year-old boy from Guatemala was recently found along this stretch of highway in La Jolla, Texas. Wearing jeans, black boots, and a white rosary around his neck, authorities say he apparently got lost after crossing the border.
The tragedy highlights the chaos on America's southern border. This year alone, more than 174,000 immigrants from Central America have been arrested in Texas. 52,000 of those have been unaccompanied children.
This is not a situation where these children are slipping through. They're being apprehended. But the problem is that our system is so broken, so unclear, that folks don't know what the rules are.
Accusing Republicans of inaction on immigration reform, the president said he's going to bypass Congress and take executive actions to shore up the border.
America cannot wait forever for them to act. And that's why today I'm beginning a new effort to fix as much of our immigration system as I can on my own, without Congress.
He's asking lawmakers for $2 billion and tasked his attorney general to come up with recommendations he can take legally without approval from Congress. But Republicans say the crisis is a result of the president's immigration policies.
It's in part a humanitarian crisis because presidential policies are enticing children to risk their lives to travel from Central America to the state of Texas.
The surge of immigrant families has overwhelmed federal authorities. Plans are underway in Dallas to house some 2,000 unaccompanied children in three temporary housing facilities.
We're going to take these children from chain link enclosures and put them in compassionate care.
The government says between 60,000 and 80,000 children without parents will cross the border this year. George Thomas, CBN News.
It's time for the church to step in and say, we can take care of these children. We can meet their needs. But understand, when the president says he's going around Congress, that means he's going around you. That's your representative. Each congressman or woman represents, what, 700,000?
Right.
700,000 people in your state. So when he says, I'm going around Congress, what he's saying is, the person that you sent here to tell me what your heart is and what your vision and values are for this nation, I'm going to go around you. And it's not, they've targeted, they polarize, they get put a narrative over the branch of government called the legislative branch of government, and they kind of separate it from people's mindset. That's you. When people appear before Congress, they're appearing before you. When they're being brought in for questioning, that's your representative questioning them. And so they're equal branches of government. They're equal branches of government, the executive branch, the judiciary branch, and the legislative branch. And so when some branch, either branch says, I'm going around the other branch, you can't, it's a violation of the Constitution, which the Supreme Court has ruled like 13 times that has taken place. But understand, it says, we need to take this to the Supreme Court to be able to another branch of the government. And going around Congress is not a good thing to do. But this whole thing is what this attorney general is saying from Texas. You created this, Mr. President, with your immigration policies. And you think about, well, he did. But if you understand Alinsky tactics and the way you organize things to get your agenda passed or whatever you want done, that's what you do. That's how, that's exactly, you create the crisis. You don't, as one particular chief staff said, don't let a good crisis go to waste. You create this crisis. And then finally, you can deal with issues that you haven't been dealing with, people's heart could be right towards, we needed to resolve this immigration policy, but not by destroying our nation and not just giving one branch of government the power just to just bulldoze their way over all that. And so what we're seeing right now, we're being organized in every aspect of our nation that's significant. As one particular writer of the New York Times, she wrote a book just recently talking about some things that came to the Supreme Court. She says, basically everything that America has ever held sacred is at the same time going to the court, Supreme Court, and being ruled against. And that is a very big crisis for a nation when those things were happening, and she went to list them off. But understand that this is just a simple aspect of saying, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix it through what I taught for 4 years. I taught this for 4 years. Chicago Sun-Times says he taught it for 4 years. He did it. You heard when he was running for his campaign, people called him an organizer, which is not bad or good. That's what he did. But then you look at the article that was just done by MSNBC for Valerie Jarrett. And as they're walking, and you got to see this, Valerie Jarrett, we talked about this, that is she the ex facto president? We did some articles because spiritually speaking, I care less about politics. I don't believe politics is the answer. But I'm talking about, when a power is seduced, and although you chose this person to lead, from the background, somebody else is leading that person, like all the king's men. He said, somebody asked this guy, he says, who's the head around here? They pointed at the elected official. And so the guy goes over to the elected official, begins to talk to him. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. You have to understand, though, when he thinks, he uses my head. it was a powerful scene in that movie, way back when, a black and white movie. But Valerie Jarrett, this lady who you can go to the VFN Torch and you can see her talking. She seems to be a pretty nice lady. She has her own value system and how she sees the country should be or whatever. But she's the one that hired Michelle, not prior to being Obama.
Robinson,
and gave her job at City Hall. Then when they went and had dinner, lunch or whatever, she got a chance to meet Michelle's fiance, which was Barack Obama at the time. And so that's how it all came to pass. And if you go back and listen to what Valerie said, Michelle and Valerie is determined he would be a good husband and he would be a good at obviously what's going on right now, but that's what they said, because he actually will listen to his wife. Now you're looking at the same woman that hired this organizer's wife and eventually soon to be wife is now that they're calling her the most powerful woman. Some of the reports are the most powerful woman in Washington, D.C. In this report, you can see it on the VFN Torch. We'll have it all for you. That she says the office I'm sitting in was Carl Rove, and prior to that was
Hillary Clinton.
So she said, I'm sitting in Hillary Clinton's seat. The question she was asked was, is Michelle Obama going to run for president? And right up front, no. And they appear to be close friends or whatever. And then he asked her, are you going to run? And he wasn't as quick to say no. And I wouldn't be surprised on the ticket that we see down the road that you're going to see Valerie Jarrett, you know, looking for probably leadership. But what really stunned us was in this interview you're looking at right now. This is on her desk. This is on Valerie Jarrett's desk. This is the advisor to the president, the one who eats dinner and lays back on the couch with the family every night in the White House. And look at her desk. She has three individuals bowing down to her. Mm. Actually, three men.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. I thought there were three people, but there are actually three men bowing down to Valerie Jarrett there. And it's like church, you know?
Yeah.
We have to understand that you're looking at spiritually something speaking. Born in
Iran.
Valerie Jarrett was born in Iran. If you see some of the reports on VFN TV, the VFN Torch, that, you know, her genealogy and how she came about and all those different things. And she's just basically, to me, using Alinsky tactics very successfully.
Well, she survived four chief of staffs have come and gone, and she's remained.
Right, right.
Very significant.
And this is what they say in that particular interview. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. She said that her job is to go around Congress. Mm-hmm. That's her job. And understand how, and this is not a gender, this is a spirit. We're talking about a spirit here. The way that a Jezebelic spirit works, it goes around established authority. It takes it over, goes around it. So this is her assignment, to go around Congress, to go out and organize the mayors of the nation, to meet with the businesses and press the agenda. To go around Congress is to go around you. But let's bring it in just a little bit more simpler than that. You're a parent. And you have three kids. You're a parent and you have three kids. Think about this. And somebody comes up to your whole family and says, I want your family to do such and such. You think about it. You pray about it. And you go, no, that's just not for us. We're not going to do that. And then they go, okay. And next thing you know, you don't know this is going on. That all of a sudden, your children are being text messages by these people. Hmm. They're being connected to them on social media. They're befriending them. And they're not really their friend, but what their ultimate goal is to get you to go the direction they want to go first. And then all of a sudden they begin to just put this narrative over you. Oh, they're old fogies and they don't really know you anyway. They don't understand you. And besides, you know, your youthful lust, I can feed into all those different things that you want. And eventually they organize your children against the parents. And then because the wife and the mother loves the children, she's starting to buy into the, you know, we want our children, you know, we love them. We know that they're into all kinds of wrong things because these people organize against your family. Mm. And I don't want to, they'll hate us. You know, mother's like, I can't have my child hating me. It's like, don't hate God here. And so all of a sudden, you're now the wife and the mother's tied between the children and the father and the husband. And now you look at it, these organizers have organized that whole family against that father.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, he says, listen, very specifically that, you can't do that because it's going to destroy. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 29 through 22 through 29. He said the religious folks that are bringing this demon possessed man to Jesus. And he says, he was blind and he was mute and he needed to be healed so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished at what he said. He says, could this be the son of David? When people were talking about him. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is by Satan, it is by Beelzebub, that the prince of demons, that he's driving out demons right here. And you think about what they're saying is they're putting a false narrative over the Son of God. They're just saying, it's working, we got to do something. Let's just say he's the devil, when the devil's saying he's the devil. And then Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said this. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, every one of them. Every city, every household divided against itself will not stand. And then he goes on to say, if you can bind the strong man, if you can bind the leader, you can rob his whole house.
Mm.
And so that scenario about your family, if you allow your husband and your father, your family to be bound and divide like that, if he divides you, he says, you will be destroyed. And you're going to think in the end that you won and your family's in shambles because you believe the lies of the enemy and you let them polarize you. You let them divide you and put you into this place. But statistics say you're going to be in jail. You're going to be suicidal. You're going to be broke. Everything's not going to work out for you because you cannot kill what God's established. You cannot fight against the very one that God's put in your life to be able to bless you. He says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I would send Elijah and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. We cannot buy into these organizing tactics that organize us as the church away from the ways of God, despite what happens in the nation. And if we, God's people, respond God's way, guess what? He'll hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and he will heal America. So we see all these things taking place right here. Hopefully you're going to be able to go to VFN Torch and be able to see the Dimitri Dudeman's prophetic word about when everything turns to the center of the United States. That's when we're really, really vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And the question is, why did we allow this massive wrong immigration to take place? Why did we fuel it, or why did we allow it to happen? Why did we not say nothing until a certain point? And then all of a sudden now we say something, but that by that time thousands have come over already. Did something come over during that time? And it makes me think about specifically Dimitri Dudeman's word in regards to what he had said, but also what the Lord has spoken to me, that this is going to be a physical battle. You know, remember the response to that? Mm-hmm. When I gave that word on air, everything, the county that the studio's in shut down. I mean, just it was a powerful thing that went down, and we stayed up because of our generators and all. But what is this word that Cindy Jacobs is talking about? Because we're going to talk about this, but hold on. We're also going to talk about this movie being released today called America. You've got to see it. What would the world be like if America never happened? It'll really encourage you.
A few months ago, Cindy Jacobs was given a word by the Lord, and it's called issuing a warning called Shields Up. And it was to pray for the protection of our nation. While she was abiding, spending time with the Lord, she felt like the Lord gave her another word. And this is what she writes and begins to speak about. She says, it does not take a prophet to realize that America is in trouble. We know there are many radical extremists who hate us. This is not new. However, as I read the verse this evening, I was shaken by it. And she's talking about Daniel 9:12. And she says, I was shaken by it. This is what I am hearing. There is another attack on the scale of 9-1-1 being planned. As I prayed to pinpoint how to intercede, I immediately heard these words, close the gates. All borders must be closed to terrorists and those who would aid them. This includes all airports, customs, checkpoints, as well as border crossings. We must pray for our custom and border agents to have eagle's eyes to see any potential persons trying to make their way into the United States. We must also pray for public transportation. You know, the Word of God tells us in Amos that God shares his secrets with his friends. He begins to tell us not so that we can be alarmed, but so that we can be alert and prayerful and be on watch, watchmen on the wall. And that's why we're sharing it today on VFN TV, so that we can be watchmen on the wall and pray.
Pray for the security. Yeah. Pray for these poor men and women that are on our borders. They're trying to handle this big political thing where they're trying to survive and not get they got shot at by the Mexican government police. Remember, they came over our borders and started shooting at them. We want you to see this because Cindy's saying pray. There's an attack. We talked about a physical attack on America, but understand it can be prevented if we pray. Watch this. It's being released today. It's called America, and we'll be back.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Home run, Jackie Robinson.
The war with Germany has ended. The forces of freedom have triumphed.
The only thing we have to fear is
their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hold the line, boys! Hold the line! Imagine the unimaginable. What would the world look like if America did not exist?
America, in theaters this summer.
It's open and starts tonight. Go get a ticket. We got to begin to ponder this, you know, because the narrative has been so successfully delivered over our nation. It seems like every, you know, press media out there that's not following the Lord is bought into, you know, delivering that same narrative that, you know, bad America, America's not good. Founding fathers were twisted. They didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so the question that it looks like that they're pondering right here, and what I think is pretty interesting too about this particular man that put this movie together, that former president of King's College, is that he talked about what the goal was, what the heartbeat was of our president. And what we're hearing in the Middle East right now is exactly what he said in that documentary. He said that they want to take the world back to pre-colonization days, which is exactly where they're talking about a caliphate. That's prior to all that taking place. All these, this, you know, that's, you know, the Great Britain came in and divided up the Middle East, divided up the Ottoman Empire and all these different things that you're seeing today. These borders weren't there. And it's like that just feeds right into it. It was amazing. So I'm excited to see this, and I haven't seen it, but I'm excited to see, you know, ponder the idea. What would the world be like if America, a nation that God allowed to exist, that we declared as one nation under God, that all of our rights come from Him, that delivered a first and a second great awakening to the world, who Azusa Street and all the things that have happened, all the missionaries, all the things, the gospel coming to the world, what would it have been like? What would the world be like without it? It starts tonight. Open in a theater near you. Find out more. We'll make it available to you on the VFN, VFNTV.com. All the details will be there for you. We've got to stand up. We got to do, just like he said, hold the line.
Hold the line.
Hold the line. Think about it. Hold the line. Dear God, make us men of integrity, men of your word, men of character. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.